Mr. Stephen Keeler, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Keeler?
I was born on January 7th, 1926, at a village called Tone, T-O-N-G-E, in Kent, where I lived in my early years.
Could you tell us a bit about your family background and your childhood?
Well, we were only there for 2 years at that time, so obviously at that time I don't know much about that. Then we moved to a village called Kingsmouth, K-I-N-G-S-M-R-T, near Ashford, where my father became the sexton at the local Kingsmouth church. My mother lived in, we all lived in the vicarage. My mother was the cookhouse keeper, and my father was also the gardener, and the man and father were all for the vicar, because in those days, a little bit of money, and they got no problem, and they,
how many were there in the family? Did you have any brothers?
My mother and my sister and I.
And a fairly comfortable upbringing then, within...
Yes, it was. They were working class. We were working class. And, obviously, we lived in the vicarage, as I said, and we were quite comfortable there. Yes.
Now, what about your education?
Well, I started off at Kingsmouth Village School, which, quite honestly, it was that far back. I don't even think anybody said it was a very happy time, as far as I was concerned. And then after I went into Ashford to school, to the Ashford South Central School, which is a secondary school, and that's where I went to study and finish my education until I was 14 years old.
Till about 1940. What were you particularly interested in at school? Academic things or sports? Anything really?
Nothing particularly. Well, sport. I played football and ran for the school and other things like that. That's all, really.
Did you have any hobbies outside of school? Boy Scouts or anything?
Oh, yes, I was a Boy Scout.
What sort of activities did they get up to? How military orientated were they?
Camping and general friendship, companionship. The wonderful scout master, I can't remember his name offhand, but he was very good. And it was a very good training as far as I was concerned, being in the scouts.
And what about when war broke out? Had you been expecting it? Were you aware of what was going on in Germany, Hitler, all the rest of it?
We were very much aware. We lived at Kingsmouth, and we were very much aware what was happening, what was going on. And obviously, at 14 years of age, I was a big fella, and I was recruited in the local ambulance, which I volunteered.
Hang on a minute. Now, that's a bit late, because that would be June, probably, or May 1940. What about when the war actually broke out? Do you remember the day war broke out?
I don't remember the actual thing that happened that day. I don't remember the actual day war broke out, but we were living in Kent, and during the early stages of the war, where the Battle of Britain was fought, of course, in 1940. And we were very conscious of the Germans across the Channel, and also coming over in our area.
Did it affect your school life, which you had the last year in school?
Yes, oh yes.
What effects did it have?
We used to go to classes and whatnot, that's what we were. And we were obviously aware. It was a very nervous time, obviously, when it was the war starting. And I was very confident of what was going on, obviously my father, discussing with my father was excellent in the 1914-18 war. And he was horrified about it all, and what was going to happen to him. He lost brothers, and lost uncles in the First World War, and obviously they were horrified about what was going to happen. And then, of course, when the Battle of Britain started, we really knew, because the planes were coming over all the time.
Well, which came first, the Battle of Britain, or did you join the Home Guard before?
I did it all at the same time.
Well, tell me about the effects, what you saw of the Battle of Britain.
Well, dogfights, particularly very bad over our area. And that being a young boy with a bicycle, we used to dash from one crashed aircraft to the next, picking up souvenirs and whatnot, and sometimes helping to search for or round up anybody that might have escaped, I was very much involved in the early part of the war in that way. And at the same time, that's when I came integrated with the Home Guard, the local Home Guard.
What was what's your memory of your Home Guard activities?
in my home now, by this time we had moved from King's North Vicarage to a house, number one council house, King's North, which is in the village, and we'd moved into this council house. What the actual year I can't honestly remember, but we moved into this council house, and that's where we lived during the Battle of Britain, and that's where I lived when I went into the Home Guard. The Home Guard was formed in the local village. And there was quite a lot of us in the Home Guard, young people. But I think I was probably the youngest.
And what mix of ages did you have? I mean, did you?
Well, we had a few First War typical Dad's Army people, and also a lot of young men as well, off the farms who weren't going to be called up. You know, they obviously joined the Home Guard, and that's why I was very keen to be in the Home Guard as well. I can show you a picture of me in the Home Guard, if you like, obviously.
And when you joined, did you join as soon as it was formed?
Oh yes, we had to have uniforms, like you know, at the start. Yes, we had civilian clothes, and we eventually got a rifle each, obviously, and a bayonet, which hung on our belts, and then we eventually got a uniform.
And how long did that all take?
We used to do watches in the local village hall, or we used to do night watches there, you know, you used to you called them watches, didn't you, in those days?
And
that's when we were there in case of any paratroopers or whatever was coming down in that area.
What would a typical watch or patrol be like?
Well, 2 hours on, 2 hours off. We used to sleep for 2 hours and then, you know, change over and go outside and patrol and watch what was going on, you know, anything that anybody was about.
Did anything ever happen?
No, not really. Not to be actively involved in anything, you know. My only activity was when the Battle of Britain really started, and as I said, I used to go around then looking for crash planes and whatnot, you know.
With the rest of the Home Guard?
Sometimes with the Home Guard, sometimes on my own, yeah.
And did you ever find any German spray crew?
Oh yes. Also I went to work for at the time, I'd left school, hadn't I? Yes, I'd left school, and I went to work for a local bakery called the Alfred Joystock. And I used to be a baker's boy and go around on their vans. And we used to, as we were going around the countryside delivering our bread, we used to see dogfights going on all the time. And one day in particular, I remember, there was a dogfight going on, and Major Smith was shot down, and the pilot bailed out. And as he came down, I can hear him now screaming his head off, you know. We realised that he was injured or whatever. Anyway, we then drove along the road to where this pilot was coming down, and he landed in the road in front of us. You want to hear this? And the army came from the other direction, because they obviously, the local army had seen him being bailing out, and he landed in the road, as I said, and he had his leg off here, right here. Very badly burned. He landed on the road and they picked the army arrived from the other direction, took his table out of his pocket and whatnot, you know, and laid it on the bonnet of our car. That's how close I was involved in it, to see it all, you know. And he was very badly burned, as I said. Eventually, the first time people come, took him away in an army ambulance, as far as I remember. That's my closest encounter with a German at that time, was to see a man badly burned and also
Anything else about that year?
No, but it was training? Just a very maybe to me it was exciting. I don't know, but it was a very involved time with the war starting and with the Messerschmitts and the Spitz up, you know, all the dogfights going on over here all the time, you know, which I remember very clearly.
What about training with the Home Guard? What sort of training did you get?
I went into the Home Guard, as I said, and we used to meet at the local village hall, and we used to do squad drill. We had a commander, a lieutenant, not army, obviously, but he became a lieutenant because he was older than the rest of us, you know, and he used to give us to our drills, you know.
What did you think of drill?
Well, I didn't mind it. It was all part of, being part of the Home Guard, being part of involved in the war effort, I suppose, you know. And this is what interested me, and also I was keen on, you know.
So
I thought I wanted to do my bit, you know, which is what
What about weapons training?
No, well, we had rifles, obviously, machine gun training as well. We used to go to the local quarry and do our firing there with targets against the wall, you know, against the side of the quarry. And also we had field exercises as well, not with the army, with amongst ourselves and other home groups, home guard groups. I don't remember the regular army coming to lectures. They probably did, but I don't remember it.
How efficient do you think you were? I mean, is there a military...
We were very efficient, all very keen, and although we had jobs to do in the daytime, we were still very efficient and did our night work and everything, did our night shifts.
Do you think you'd have been a serious military force if the Germans had invaded, or...?
I think we would. I really do. Our CO, the lieutenant who was in charge of us, I don't know whether he was ex-army or not before, but he was very keen and very good. And he used to give us a lot of training, as I said. Not only the squadron, obviously, but, you know, field training.
And how long did this go on for? How long were you a member? You joined in May 40?
I was 14 years of age. I might have even been 13. I was very young anyway, and I was a big fan, as I said. And then came my idea that I wanted to get into the Navy, right?
Now, what caused that?
Well, again, I wanted to do my part in the war, I suppose.
But why the Navy?
Because I'd always been a bit soft and keen on the Navy. But I never had any relations in the Navy. My parents were horrified when I said I wanted to join the Navy. And at 15, I went to Chatham Recruiting Office, in Burton Buildings, Chatham High Street. That's where the Naval Recruiting Office was, over Burton Shop. And there I joined the Navy. And
so you volunteered?
I volunteered at 15 years of age, put my age under 17. And I was, believe it or not, as the service, so I was called up. And when you were called, you had your medical, six doctors. The last doctor said to me, you know, well, you're just the sort of chap we need. You're A1, you're fit. And nobody dreamed I was set 15 years of age, I can assure you. But then, of course, you go home and wait. I didn't have to wait very long. About a month, as I remember.
Now, what did your parents think?
They were horrified.
I mean, did they do anything about it? I mean, you were underage. They could have just stopped it.
They didn't stop me. In no way did they stop me. Now, I knew this was going to come. I could have either forged my birth certificate or whatever, but I was... It's not that I became a coward or backed out. I knew my birth certificate would give me away. Now, when they call you up, which was in a matter of a month, you go back to Chatham, back to Burton Buildings, and there you go back to where you were at the recruiting place. And you're meant to produce your birth certificate, which obviously I hadn't got with me because I knew it would give me away. But they then asked me the truth. Was I 17 years of age? And I admitted that I wasn't. I was born January the 7th, 1926, which made me 15 years of age. And they sent me away with a flea in my ear. Not nastily, not in any way nastily, but they admired my luck, my courage, wanted to join us first, and that's when I went off back down to Ashford again.
Now, when was this? When was that? Be 1941, I presume, if you were 15.
1941.
Do you know when about?
No, I can't tell you off the top of my head, so I really can't tell you off the top of my head.
So you went back to your baker's boy?
I went back to Ashford, went back to King's North, the village of King's North, back to my home guard duties, and there I stayed there, but I used to write to the Navy every week, I promise you, and, you know, reminding them that I was there. And prior to being 17, I had letters from them to say, you know, as soon as you're 17 years of age, we will be in touch with you. And they were as well. And I was called up to Chatham. I went up to Chatham again to the recruiting office, and that's why I joined the Navy at 17 and about a week, I think it was.
So that would be in January 1943?
43, that's correct.
Now, you were called up to go to Chatham.
Yeah.
You were still keen, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, what happened when you got to Chatham?
Well, when we got to Chatham, we were obviously, any details we had to give or fill in, what we had to do. And from there, we were put on a train to HMS Royal Arthur, which was at Skegness, which was a Butlins holiday camp, which had been taken over by the Navy for training purposes. And that's why I did my training at HMS Royal Arthur.
Then that was training as naval seaman. Oh, well, as a seaman.
As a naval seaman. An ordinary seaman.
And what was the setup at HMS Royal Arthur?
Well, it was a holiday camp, as I said it was, but we all lived in chalets, you know, two bunks to a chalet, in some cases there were four bunks. Then there was different houses, you know, where what had obviously been used for entertainment for the campers when they had it as a camp. But we used to have to go to a house and have lectures. And also do
not splices. I'll come to that. Tell me a bit more about the chalets and how you were all, what were they like?
Well, they're normal hardy kind of chalets. As I said, some had two bunks in, some got four, and I was in with another chap in a double bunk, you know? Always try to get the top bunk if possible, and that's where we lived. I can't remember how long we were there for. So.
What about kitting out? Well, when you got there?
Do
you remember what they kitted you out with?
Well, very basic. Naval uniform, bell-bottom trousers, jacket, you know, the usual naval uniform. None of it looked very special, I know, because when you first get it, it looks very tough, as they say, you know, and very ordinary. And of course, after when you've been in the Navy a little while, you tend to make yourself what they call a bit tiddly, you know. Tiddle them up a little bit, lighten the collar and various, but perhaps on one side, but it was very basic, tougher Navy, learning it about the Royal Navy.
And what equipment would you get with the uniform?
What equipment would we get? No personal equipment at all, apart from a knife and a lanyard, obviously. A knife and a lanyard, that was it, really. And we used to go to classes every day.
Well, let's look at if we look at sort of a typical day, that gives us an idea of everything. About what time would you have to get up?
6:30 in the morning when you fell in on the playground, and you would have physical exercises.
PT.
PT.
How,
PT.
I mean, were you fit? I mean, did it do you any good, or was it? Oh, were you
yes.
already fit enough?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say I was fit enough, no. But, no, it did me the world of good, without a question.
What type of PT was it?
Physical jerks. Exercises. It's as simple as that.
Not runs. They didn't send you on a run.
No, not runs, no. Run down the playground. Run down the yard where we used to play. That was all right.
Now, what after the PT session? Were it breakfast or...?
Breakfast, back to him in your mess hall for breakfast.
Now, that's a good... Let's look at food, then.
Right.
What was your first experience of...
Well,
I mean, what
very basic food, obviously. Good quality food. Well, egg and bacon, sausage, you know, the usual things. Also, cereal if you wanted it, but again, very basic. Nothing luxurious, I can assure you.
And so the food all the way through. Lunch, what would that be?
Well, you went after breakfast, you obviously went to classes.
Okay.
You carried on with your classes, seamanship, navigation, and all the rest.
Tell me about seamanship. What did seamanship...
Well, lots of splices, what we could expect from being a seaman on board an ocean-going ship, you know, and boat training, there was
let's keep it, slow it down a bit. What are these things? Start with knots and splices. What exactly were you doing?
Well, we had a petty officer, a very elderly petty officer, bless his heart. I can't remember his name there, but obviously ex-Navy, serving Navy, being called back to train us young sailors. He sticks in my mind very much, although I can't remember his name. And they used to give us knots and splices. Sheriff had to do it, and then we used to have to do knots and splices.
How did you find it?
It was hard going, but we helped each other. You know, we were in a class. I can't remember that number of the class now. Class 108. Yeah, class 108 I was in. And with about 20 of us in a class.
And was it just ropes or was it wire as well?
No, wire as well. Slice of wire as well, yes. Which was very difficult. That was very hard, very difficult.
Now, what about other parts of seamanship? Boxing the compass. Did you still have to know?
Yeah, we had to box the compass, yes. We had to do all that. Learn the compass and box the compass.
Well, could you just explain to them what it means, boxing the compass? A lot of people don't know now.
Oh, right. Boxing the compass is knowing all the points of the compass and being able to go around that compass and see what each point of the compass was. That is boxing the compass. You had to say to your instructor, or draw, or write, what they describe the compass to you.
Did you have this business of climbing masts and going over the mast, over the masthead?
We never had a mast. We had a mast to hold the white ensign, but we never had the mast like that at Ganges. No, nothing like that at all.
At Ganges? I thought this was Royal Arthur.
At Ganges, that's where they used to train the naval recruits, didn't they?
So not like Ganges, yeah, because
like
you were
it
at, yeah.
It wasn't as a hard going as Ganges. Yeah. Ganges, they all joined as boys. They were boys. We were cast as men. We were going into the hostilities only rating into the Royal Navy.
Now, what about sort of the small boats, seamanship, you know,
well,
that sort of thing?
Like I said, there was a swimming pool in the grounds of this holiday camp, and there they had a whaler. A whaler is a boat, a rowing boat, which you have on board all ships carry a whaler, which is the rowing, you know, the engine rowing. And we used to do training with this whaler exercise, getting in and getting out, you know. Oars, putting oars up, you know, oars down, where to position the oars, when we were coming, you were coming alongside, etc.
But you didn't actually get out to open water, so.
No, there was sea there, but we didn't actually go in on the sea, no.
Anything else about seamanship you learned?
I really can't remember quite that, that's it's just basic seamanship learning. What we were going to have to do in the Navy, you know.
How much drill did you do?
Oh, we did a fair amount of squad drill. It was very tough, and very, very strict with squad drill.
You enjoy it? You'd enjoyed it in the Home Guard?
No, I did. I did enjoy it. And I knew basically what to do, obviously.
It wasn't different?
No. Presenting arms and all the rest of it. Shouldering arms, slope arms. That came easy to me.
Did you understand the purpose of drill then, or did you have an idea?
The purpose of drill was to give you discipline, to be able to take orders, to tell what to do, you know?
And you realised that then?
Well, I realised that then, yes, without question. I realised it's something that had to be done, and I never shirked it, and I enjoyed doing it. I was just keen as one of the next man, maybe we weren't all keen, I don't know, because some of them had been called up, you know, with naval call up. I was a volunteer, shall we say.
What about weapons training, the rifle?
Weapons training was rifle. That's the only rifle.
How much training did you get with that?
A fair amount. Target shooting as well with the rifle, you know.
How did you find that? Was it a shock the first time? Or?
Well, I'd already done it in the Home Guard, so I knew
of course,
I
sorry,
what
yeah.
to expect. I knew again what to expect, yes. But there weren't, as I remember, any bigger guns than HMS Royal Arthur.
So there was no gunnery training?
No gunnery training. Just basically discipline and what you could expect when you go on board a ship.
What about kit inspections and preparing for
kit inspections? We had a kit inspection.
What would a typical... How would you prepare for one, and what was one like?
You had to lay your kit out, either in the chalet, whether permitting, or outside, whether not permitting. That's very side, the other way around. Outside, whether permitting, inside, not whether not permitting. You had to learn to fold your clothes up as they wanted to see them.
But were they obsessive about, you know, polishing your boots, like that?
Well, maybe, fortunately, you don't have glasses to polish, you know. You know, the basic thing is your boots, keeping yourself, your clothes clean and tidy, you know.
So not unreasonable?
Not unreasonable.
Now, how did you get on with your fellow recruits? And was there any edge at all between the volunteers and the conscripts?
No, I don't think so. We were obviously all strangers, but eventually you piled up. You were close to the levels. The same as when you go on board ship, you know.
Was there any bullying?
No. I don't remember any bullying at all. Anybody at all. The GIs, or gunnery instructors, we used to do your drill, and they shouted a bit, and there was no physical punishment or anything like that.
What did you think of your leading seamen and the instructors, the NCOs and life generally?
To me, I knew I was there to learn, and to me, I was all part of the discipline of it all, I suppose, and I just accepted it, you know.
Did you think the instructors were good at their job of training? Do you think they knew what they were talking about?
I did indeed. They were men that had been called back into the Navy.
They were older then?
Older men, right. And we were in classes, as I said, class 108. And there was about 26 of us in the class. And each one had a leading hand, or petty officer, who was in charge of you, you know, who used to keep an eye on you. And they were the ones who used to give you all instruction.
And they were reasonably sympathetic?
They were reasonably sympathetic, yes.
Now, what about officers? Did you come across them much at that time?
Well, there were officers, really genuine members, I should tell them. When we used to go on parade, we obviously had an officer to march past and salute. But I don't honestly know much about the officers, I really don't.
Did you have to do guard duties at all?
Firewatching.
Firewatching.
We used to do night duty on top of the buildings in case of incendiary bombs come down. We had to do firewatching. God had been good fit, but I mean, I'd already done all that in the Home Guard anyway. It didn't.
What equipment did they give you?
A truncheon, nothing else. No rifles or anything like that.
But no water? Stirrup pump?
Stirrup pumps, obviously. And buckets to stand around you and things like that. To put out incendiary bombs, But there was never any actual raid while I was there. We never had a fire to fight, as far as I remember. And there
being
no sort of action to that, but we had to do
firewatching,
which gave
the
David in good stead for
watchkeeping
in the Navy, obviously.
Were you allowed out of Camp Royal Arthur at all?
We used to have, as I remember, not for a number of weeks, and then eventually we were allowed out into Skegness.
What would people do? What was their idea of a day out in, or a night out in?
Well, coming on, I was 15 years of age and probably had to drink them. I said, I thought he used to go to the pub or something, I suppose. They used to have entertainment in the camp. The cinema entertainment groups came there to entertain us. But also there was a cinema there as well. We used to see films. But as I remember, I just used to get on the bus with the rest of the lads, get into Skegness. They just walk around, talk, have us all, really. Nothing very exciting.
Now, how long were you there about? I know you don't know exactly. Was it?
I can't tell you that. Maybe you picked this up from somebody else how long the training session was. I would have did 6 to 8 weeks, quite honestly. I really would. 6 to 8 weeks.
And what happened then? Was there any sort of qualification? I mean, was there an exam?
You had to pass out, not the splices. You had to pass out all those things. And you had a passing out train at the end, which again was taken by an officer. Then you went last doing classes. They gave so many weeks, obviously, for training purposes. And as far as I remember, we all passed, and we were all sent to the depot then. My depot was going to be Chatham. I was a Chatham major.
So that would be your home port?
That was my home port.
So you went to Chatham Barracks?
Back to Chatham Barracks, that's right.
And that would be round about March?
Round about March.
And what happened there? You were an ordinary seaman.
I was an ordinary seaman, and I spent time in Chatham Barracks, where you really got into naval discipline then, because you were in a barracks with the real hard Navy side.
And how did that differ? What was it like for naval discipline?
It was much more puffer, as we say. It was much stricter than the Butler's Holiday Camp, or HMS Royal Arthur, sorry, HMS Royal Arthur. Because there you had gunnery instructors, you had a playground, which I can show you pictures of eventually, if you want to see them. We had a playground where we had to pray, and we all again were in houses, different houses, Anderson Block, Nelson Block, all named after famous admirals or whatever. And we used to have, again, more disciplined squad drill, again, gaiety and lots of spices to really brush up on what you learned at HMS Royal Arthur.
So were you introduced to gunnery at all, though?
Yes, we used to gunnery, yes.
Well, what gunnery training did you get?
No actual shooting, we never went to a gunnery range or anything like that. We just did the drill at the gun.
Which gun?
A 4.5 gun.
4.5 inch gun?
Inch gun, yeah. And you either became a liar or trainer or... Each had to have a position on the gun. Again, maybe in a big fun, I always used to seem to get the loading number, I suppose. Where you had to pick up a shell and put it in the breech. That was always I remember that very well.
And what did the others do? Can you just quickly explain what the others did?
Some learned gun laying.
What was that?
Well, gun laying is bringing the gun into a certain angle for your fire, and whatever angle you were told to go into. And just raising the gun, lowering the gun, and also the firing the gun as well. The gun lower itself, he always...